Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello and welcome to episode number 126 of the Self-Help Podcast. What fatigue? What are you talking about?
Adrenal fatigue.
Adrenal fatigue. Just talking out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sean, give the game away a bit there. We're talking about fatigue this week, and Sean, do you mind me saying you look very fatigued?
I am absolutely cream-crackered. I can't tell you why, but I got loads on at the moment, so it's like...
Busy, busy, baby. Well, then maybe that's going to be one of the things we discuss about everyone's so busy. Why, you know, do we need to be? I mean, I know you got serious things.
I got serious things going on. And sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Sometimes things happen in life where you've got to be places and you've got to do things for a variety of reasons, and it just takes over the world. And when that happens, maybe there's things that you can do to keep yourself going, and maybe there's some things we can look at.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about this week, isn't it? Yeah, for those new to the show, lucky you, 126 episodes in, you've got 125 episodes to go back on and explore, and we've covered a wide range of topics, haven't we? In fact, I think we have covered sleep at some point, maybe even twice in the past, but this is more overcoming fatigue on a kind of throughout the day, I think, this one.
Well, one of the things about, as we start to look at this, even if people get really good sleep, sometimes the sleep isn't good quality, maybe a length, and they wake up and they're more tired than when they went to bed.
Yep.
So, works both ways.
Okay, cool. if you're new to this show and you're new to us, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk to find out all about us. There'll be a blog post to accompany this podcast, and there's lots of other cool stuff on there too. I don't mention it enough really, but there's a wonderful book called Living the Present, which we put together a couple of years ago.
Hey, I've been talking to Alex, and she's going to come on the show.
Hey.
Yep.
Which Alex?
Alex, when we were doing the podcast about the book, we were saying about people coming on and just trying to fit things in, which has been crazy, but we've got guys who want to come on.
We do.
And I've been talking to Alex, and she's going to come on soon.
Actually come and see us, or like on Skype?
She's going to come and sit here in this room with us.
Well, you better turn the heating down because it's roasting hot in here.
Yes, that's why you're taking your clothes off. The topless podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm just in a t-shirt. I'm like the opposite of the newscasters.
You're just in a t-shirt. That sounds even worse.
Like the news presenters that just wear boxer shorts and just wear a shirt and tie and boxer shorts. You okay though? Otherwise, you had a good stuff's busy at the moment.
Yeah, life's a bit crazy. We've got a lot of emotional stuff going on in the family, so I'm having to run around and be places and do things, which is kind of taking out the world a bit.
Yep.
But we're going there. That's good. So, and the issues of fatigue are right on the button for me at the moment. Uh-huh. How about you? You're not looking so good yourself.
Two young children, again, as ever, I use that excuse. But yeah, I was fatigued at the cinema last night. I went to see The Martian, and it's a big budget space movie.
Was it good?
To see it. It's brilliant. Really cool. Ridley Scott, director, Matt Damon at the helm.
Right.
Cool. Really cool. It was good fun, actually. It wasn't like too serious. It was quite witty and fast-paced. Yeah. Good action movie, but lots of science in it too, and like really interesting. So, and it's weird. I came out of the movie thinking that we'd actually already been to Mars, like as a species, but we haven't been there yet. It's that realistic,
right? Well,
but yeah, we'll get there next 10, 15 years. I think humanity.
We'll buy a house.
Yeah, get some good prime real estate.
Yeah.
All the business opportunities.
I'll be there.
And I had a random nice little chat with a Argentinian lady at the train station, which I feel duty bound to mention. You know when you just have a random chat with someone and it's like really cool?
Yeah.
But she had a massive suitcase and a rucksack and another bag, and she needed a hand onto the train, and I chatted to her in the lift on the way down. She kind of latched onto me. I think she could sense I was the person in the lift that would be up for a chat. She was asking me about advice about Chester. But yeah, I had this, like, I was with her on the train for about 20 minutes, and turns out she's been in the Alps a lot, and climbed up the Gran Paradiso in Italy, which is a mountain I've climbed. She'd been to some conference in Scotland about mountains, and she was an archaeologist. Didn't even get a name, no Twitter details or anything. It's just like, had a nice little chat, and off we went.
That's what cards are for. You know, business cards. People used to have calling cards, didn't they, before their business cards. We should carry them with us because it's great because then you've got a connection.
Like. I know. I didn't have any on me. I just kind of I asked her if she was online or anything, but she said no, she didn't do any of that stuff. So I just left it at that and off she went.
Yeah.
Cool though.
Yeah, because even up a mountain you can be online these days, can you?
You can, yeah. But let's crack on with this week's episode. It's actually one of our listeners called Karen. Emailed in just to say she'd been struggling most with tiredness, fatigue and low mood, which I'm guessing probably the two may be linked in some way, because if you're not tired and fatigued, you tend to have more energy. And when you have more energy, you tend to be a bit happier, huh?
It's chickens and eggs here. Sometimes low mood feeds tiredness, and sometimes tiredness feeds low mood.
Okay.
But it depends on how you get to either state in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess I want to open the batting here with the concept that if you develop a lifestyle that can create a situation where being tired becomes a habit, and then you do things that maintain the habit, because if we go back to all the live in the present stuff, we are the habits that we have learned since the day we were born.
Right.
And if you have anything going on in your system that you don't like, it's either a physical condition that needs to be treated, which is the straight kind of medical end, or it's a habit that you've learned, which means it's a cognitive, it's an emotional, it's a behavioural thing, which is 90% of what we're dealing with. And even if you do have a medical condition or you have some kind of complaint, there's things that you can do that make life different, it makes life better and it gives you more energy.
Sure.
And there are things that you can do. But we'll have a look at those.
Yeah, well, I've been looking at for a while, actually, and I've got a couple of little life hacks myself that I've been playing with and reading about things as well, which I'll mention. I mean, I came across an article which it's on webmd.com. Can't remember the title of it, but it was nine tips and bits of advice for combating fatigue.
Right.
And number one, like you mentioned there, is to kind of rule out that it's not a health issue, first of all, because...
Yeah, can I go through my healthy bits?
Yeah, because fatigue can be a side effect of quite a few illnesses, some serious, some just it can be, you know, all that can be fixed, but you've got to identify it first, haven't you?
Yeah, and the most common one in our society at this moment is a lack of vitamin D.
Uh-huh.
Lack of vitamin D, which we relate to SAD syndrome, but it's statistically... 77% of people that are listening to this podcast right now are vitamin D deficient, and the only way that you're going to know whether you are is to go to your regular physician and get vitamin D blood test, which in Britain they're not all that easy on doing because it costs them money to do it, but I've been working with people this year where vitamin D levels should be at 100 on the scale at the end of the summer. I've been working with people that have been less than 20, some less than 10, and they're on their knees from a fatigue point of view. And we know that vitamin D and mood go together, which is why we have seasonal affective disorder, we have SAD syndrome.
Yeah, right. So yeah, now so we know just that. Come out of summer reasonably.
Everybody summer, should be on top now.
So we should be. Now's a good time to check where you're at, really. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. You should be right up high in the 90s, 100s on the scale.
Okay.
And the idea is by the end of the winter you'll be down to 50 and then you back up again in the summer.
Yeah. Which, okay. I think in previous episodes
we've talked about,
in fact, episode one was sunshine.
It was. We started with that.
Back in the day.
Which is good,
Kind of discussed the idea of why don't people go on holiday in the winter.
Other medical issues to look at. Post-viral fatigue syndrome, PVFS. Very often after a heavy viral attack, which could be something like glandular fever, but it could be like a flu-y kind of virus that's going around, the effect on your system afterwards is to knock out the effective bits in the mitochondria in the cells, which is the energy producing bit, and you end up feeling exhausted for a while. And if that gets really stuck in, then people start talking about chronic fatigue, and ME.
Right.
Some physicians don't like to acknowledge it, and they will say it's all in your head. There's quite a lot of evidence that you is a physiological state following disease, following emotional disruptions, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you get the idea of ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. And the other ones that very often GPs will send people up to the pain clinic for, saying that this is a psychological issue, are things like the fibromyalgias and the polymyalgias, where people have that rheumatic-y aching feeling.
Yeah.
And very often you can't necessarily clinically tie down what it is. So we then say that we psychologicalise a medical issue and we tell people they're bonkers and send them off to the...
To
deal with. And sometimes it is a psychological issue, sometimes it is a physiological issue, but even if it is a physiological issue, psychologically you can make it better. You may not make it perfect, but you can make your ability to deal with the lack of fatigue.
Yep.
Yeah. But you have to be able to and prepared to do certain things in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I would start off with, as you're starting to come into your list here, which we need to go through,
which I wrote myself,
you did
sort of all by myself, yeah, that
is the idea of getting off your butt. You know, I meet many, many people who are carrying too much weight, which can be a low vitamin D issue, but they're not doing anything with their bodies. And we know that if you get your heart to beat for 20 minutes, raise your heart rate up, then you get a rush of endorphins from the brain that make you feel better. And it gives you energy, because people think, I'm too tired to go and do any exercise. But if you can drag your butt out and go and do the exercise, you come back feeling do-do-do-do-do, because your energy levels come right up.
Sure.
And it's training your system to do that. Yeah.
Do it right now. Do it with the... Get your earbuds in, get the self-help podcast on and go for a brisk stroll.
We have a listener who... We said one day, where do you listen to this podcast? And I think it was amazing. She was wearing waterproof headphones, a phone on the side of the swimming pool, and she'd swim up and down the pool listening to the podcast.
With a wire trailing or with a Bluetooth?
No,
Swimming around in circles.
With a Bluetooth. She didn't have a Bluetooth. Yeah. She was on Bluetooth. Apparently trainers use them to get swimmers swimming properly.
Cool.
But I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's good,
brilliant.
Yeah. We had this is a bit of a side point, but Mike, Arabic Mike, I don't know if you've emailed...
I've never met Arabic Mike.
No, he's a fan of ours online. I chat with him online every now and again. But
is Arabic?
He's not, he teaches Arabic.
All right.
If I remember, I'll stick a link to his website.
All right, yeah.
His YouTube, Arabic training.
All right, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yep.
But he's just got out from a trip to China. This guy's got loads of energy, young guy, man, he's cool.
Mm.
But he was listening to our show at an airport in, was it Kuwait, I think, or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Just put a message on Instagram, yeah. That's cool, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah, it's good.
Mm.
The magic of modern technology, we can be everywhere at once, it's good.
Indeed. What were we talking about?
So we're talking about if you've ruled out the physical health issues, you've got your blood tests, your vitamin B's right, your vitamin D's right, everything's working okay, then what are we talking about then? Well, exercise is the next one.
Yeah, but also, it won't just be, once you've ruled out those things, or even if you do find that you do have a health issue, one of the fixes for that health issue will be exercise anyway, so...
Yeah,
regardless of its health or not.
But the thing is that even if you have a quite debilitating condition, if you can make your body move, even in quite limited ways, it's a bit like if you go into an older people's home, like a residential home, and people are doing armchair aerobics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, they can't get up and jump around. Maybe their hips or their knees have gone, but they can get themselves going and they can get their heart rate up. It's having the will to do it.
Yep.
I see so many people who are able-bodied, who are overweight, who are miserable, who don't have the willpower within them to move their body. Mm. And yet it feeds on itself. It's chicken and egg. You move your body, you feel good. If you feel good, you move your body.
But yeah, the vicious circle can be downward as well. Or spiral can be downward, can't it?
And we need it to go upwards.
Yep. Into the stratosphere.
Cool.
Okay. The third point of mine, which is linked to exercise, is yoga. Which I don't know why they're not together actually, but they did separate points for.
Well, it's
know more about this than
I do. It's different. The exercise works on the adrenal system, so that you get that adrenaline cortisol party system goes up.
Yeah,
that's the adrenergic side. The exercises like yoga work on the cholinergic side, which is the deep relaxed. It's a balance of hormones. So if you stretch your ligaments out, then your body becomes very loose. If you run, one of the things I learned was that your ligaments tighten up. Because okay. the different kinds of chemistry that's in your system makes the ligaments tighter. Yeah. And they always want you to do the stretch out exercises after doing the adrenaline exercise.
Okay.
Yeah. And people that do a lot of yoga are quite loose. Their ligaments are loose. And they've got a different chemistry in their body. But you need that balance between the two.
Cool.
Yeah. One of the things that I want to suggest in the yogic bit is there's a yogic science called pranayama. And in Sanskrit, the word prana means energy and yam means control. And the word prana you could use for bioenergy. You could use it to mean chi, which people talk about a lot, or the ki in Reiki. Yeah, it's that energy stuff. Now, yeah. Pranayama does have some physical exercises, but a lot of it is about how you breathe. And you can raise your energy. There's one particular exercise called Bastrika, which means bellows breath, and you can be quite tired, you can be on your knees, but if you do a few rounds of Bastrika, you wake your brain up. Yeah, that's thing. That yeah, in your, out your nose. But I put a couple of links up, and there's a really good book which is a classic called it's
The
called
Hobbit, Lord of the Rings,
Light on
Peace,
Pranayama,
War and Peace. No.
Light on Pranayama. It's amazing. It's good by a guy called Iyengar.
Okay.
And anyone's into yoga now about Iyengar, he's a good guy.
Cool. Yeah, I can see it there. That's going to be in there.
Yeah.
On the show notes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Fourth point, if I may mention it, which I've seen this a lot recently. I've also seen it debunked by various people with questionable scientific backgrounds, is about hydration and drinking water. Yeah. Apparently we're not drinking enough water.
Yeah, I can go with that. One of the things that I wonder, though, is that when we drink water out the tap, we're drinking water that's full of chlorine, and it might have other bits and pieces chucked in it as well.
So, yeah.
So I wonder whether, if we're going to do tap water, we need to just have a small filter that we use.
Yeah, we just had our kitchen kind of redone since the great flood of Bebbington when Will left the tap on a few weeks ago. We're back to normal, but yeah, the guy was reinstalling all the taps in the kitchen because he'd been under the sink doing stuff.
Mm.
And he found a water filter there, which I was like, but it wasn't connected. Like, do you want this? Do you want this? And I was like, I didn't even know we had it. But I don't think it's connected yet because he would have had to get a load more pipes, and it was like an insurance job, so they had to do like. But yeah, maybe I should get a filter.
The way our ice system works.
Oh, you've got all those fancy fridges, ain't you?
Yeah, but that's got a filter on it so that the water's filtered by the time it gets to the ice maker, but you can actually get cold water out of it as well.
Yeah.
I think hydration is right. People will tend to hydrate with things that don't serve them well. They're full of sugars or all kinds of stuff, yeah? And that isn't hydration. In a lot of the factories I work in, they have a scale on the back of the loo door for you to read. Have you ever seen different colours?
Not in the factories I've been in.
It's something like, if your pee is 1 to 3, that's okay. You're okay. But if it's kind of 4 to 8, then you must hydrate. It's that kind of scale.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
The darker it is, it means you're not hydrated enough.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever remember Jack Canfield talking about the wee nurse?
No, no.
That was really, really funny. He was saying, is in a hospital. And the wee nurse would come round, and he'd have to wee in a wee bucket or wee container, put it on the side, and she'd come round and she'd say, "Oh, how are we today?" And then she'd look at the wee and go, "Oh, that's looking a bit, you know, whatever." And he was drinking apple juice, and one day,
Where's this going?
One day, one day, he got the pee bottle and he poured apple juice in it. And the nurse came in and said, "Wow, that looks really heavy. You know, that looks really thick. We need to say something about that." And he said, "Oh, hang on, I'll just run it through the system again." And he picked up the thing and drank it in front of her. And she thought he'd drunk his pee. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just run it through again.
So I've heard, yeah, I think some people, hippie-ish types, brush their teeth with pee for some reason. It's obviously got some kind of chemicals in there.
It's got ammonia in it, hasn't it? Which must lighten your teeth, I guess.
In fact, the Martian, one of his... I won't give it away too much, but he has to figure out, because he's on this planet on his own for a year and a half-ish, how to grow food, but there's no fertile soil there, so he has to use... This is where the science in it's really cool, actually, because he has to use a bit of the what's come out the other end. It's like a fertilizer, and then he has to create water because he's got this barrel full of nitrogen and hydrogen. Sorry, he's got H2O and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, digress. One thing we haven't mentioned, which is quite important to fatigue, is sleep. Which you're either not getting enough, or you're not getting the right kind of quality of sleep.
I think that we don't sleep at the right times. And like the whole idea about siestas, taking an afternoon nap.
Yeah.
All other primates, other than us, they don't go for this big block of sleep and this big block of work. What they do is they do a bit and they have a rest, and then they do a bit and have a rest and do a bit and have
a
rest.
We're a funny species, though, because like babies, as I know, can sleep 15, 16 hours a day.
Yep.
You know, and they need to. Then we try as hard as we can that he doesn't nap. He could nap in the day, but we don't let him, because otherwise he won't go to bed at 7 o'clock and we can't have our nice little chill out time on the sofa. But then teenagers, you know, you hear about, you know, they have to get up for school, but you know that teenagers aren't great at getting out of bed, but science would show they probably need that extra bit of sleep at that age.
Yeah.
But as we get older, we need less.
But when your bones grow, they grow at night when you're asleep.
Okay.
So you do need that period of time. But if you look at things like chimpanzees, things like gorillas, they go to sleep during the day. They would take time out. You know, we go for this massive...
Got emails coming in, have they? Gee whiz, the phone isn't ringing off the hook.
The jungle drums are beating. I think that we do this crazy stuff where people are working like 12, 14-hour shifts. It's just too much. You know, the system wasn't designed to do it.
Well, how many hours are you putting in a week?
Oh, one or two.
100.
But it's balancing, isn't it? Because if you do meditation, you do, you know, yoga, you do your exercise, all that kind of stuff, then you're getting a balance between the different things.
There's a book come out, which I don't know what it's called. I read an article about it, about the Dalai Lama's daily ritual, a guy that's been following him around for years. And he gets up at like 3, 4 a.m. And meditates for 3 or 4 hours on how he can be a better human being and all that stuff. I don't know how that would fit in with my schedule, but there is a quote, isn't there, about, you know, how often do you meditate? What is it you know better than I do?
I don't know which one you're which one you
I've forgotten
it. I always go back to Gandhi, and Gandhi
this
saying
could be the one, yeah.
Gandhi said that he would take an hour out every day to look after himself and do his meditation and stuff like that, because he was so busy, and if he didn't take the hour out, then he couldn't function properly. But if he was really, really busy and the pressure was really, really on him, then he'd take out 2 hours because he'd look after himself even more.
Yeah,
and we do exactly the reverse.
That's what I meant to say.
Exactly. Yeah, the busier we get, the less we look after ourselves, and then we wonder why we feel fatigued and tired.
Yeah.
Because I think that's another issue when you're looking at what is it that you're doing with your life. The thing that I say to loads of people is, when did you last have some fun? Yeah. And fun is something that should be a natural ingredient in the day. It shouldn't be something that we have to kind of organise and plan for. We should be having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun right now. Is this fun?
It's an absolute burster.
Should we wrestle, or should we have an arm wrestle or something instead?
Come on! You need to put your clothes on first.
I was going to get it all off. Jeez. Yeah, I can relate to that one. And things like when it comes to sleep as well, which is loads of stuff about on the internet. Not taking any digital devices to bed, making sure your lights off and all that. And
yep.
that kind of decompressing before you go to sleep, so your brain isn't wired for with loads of mad stuff.
And don't go in the bathroom and turn a bright light on and clean your teeth in a mirror, because it wakes your brain back up.
Yeah.
And then you try and go to sleep.
Yeah.
You're just woken your brain. Crazy.
Yeah, okay. Or brush your teeth. You could just brush your teeth with the light on before you go into your bedroom.
Like. Or you could brush your teeth in the dark.
Yeah, you could. Teeth. It's not that hard, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't got eyes in your mouth. You can't actually see where the toothbrush is. You can feel it.
Yeah, so yeah, quality of sleep. Get to bed early if you need to. I'm rubbish at this, man. I should get a couple of hours extra sleep a night. I could do, but I'm too addicted to my little routines of checking things online.
People talk about power napping and stuff like that, and some people are able to grab a 20-minute power nap.
Yep.
You know, I think to grab a 20-minute meditation, so you're not actually napping, but your system is in downtime.
Yeah, well, when I worked at home a lot more before I got my office 6 months or so ago, I would have had the opportunity to nap every day, but I didn't through guilt. But I worked at home for like 6 years. I did go out every now and again in the evening at the weekend, so I wasn't in the house all the time. But I did have the odd little nap, I must confess. And most of the time, yeah, it did help. Because, I get that kind of lethargy after lunch, 2, 3pm. I'm not getting anything done. I'm just like...
But that's siesta time. That's when people in the Mediterranean would have gone to siesta.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that one of the things that you just said then, which is very, very real, was the concept of guilt. I wonder how many people work crazy in crazy ways because they feel like they ought, should or must.
Yes.
And they don't feel they can give themselves permission to stop and say, actually, today I'm not doing anything. Well, for this next hour, I'm going to go and just sit down and stare at the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has been said that busyness is a form of laziness. It's like we're just busy for the sake of it, just to kind of...
Yeah.
Because we've got people watching us and, you know, don't you dare take an hour's break, you know, that kind of thing. Like, Beth and my wife feels guilty if she, like, leaves the kids with my in-laws, the grandparents, a bit longer than... Because they love it, man. They love having the grandkids, obviously. But it's like, oh, we must go get them, we must go get them. You know, and all that. It's like, just relax.
Relax. I can remember working on a building site when I was a teenager as a labourer, and we were doing trenches, and people would get out of the trench to have a cigarette, and the cigarette was the downtime. So you'd get out and you'd have a blow, they'd say, so they'd spend 5 minutes blowing on a flag and then get back in the trench again, and you couldn't actually say, I'm just going to get out of the trench and stand around for 5 minutes. You know, that would make you guilty, but you couldn't
just go and stare wistfully into at a cloud or something like that.
Yeah.
what the heck are you doing, Alfred?
Yeah, right, get back in
you
the train.
You fairy, get down here.
No, they spoke with the Devon accent.
Oh, sorry.
All right, my lover, you get it back down that trench then.
All right. We've got a couple more to go through.
You've written down fish oil here.
Yeah, one of the things in terms of diet is, eat more fish.
Mm.
Or fish oil supplements, that kind of thing.
Yeah, loads of evidence of omega-3s.
Omega,
and brain function.
Yeah,
yeah.
Give that a go.
In lots of ways, calming systems down. There is research on using omega-3 in prisons and reducing levels of violence.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Does work on your cardiovascular and your neurological system.
Okay. Yeah. That would seem to make sense. And then there's a link to that, a couple of them more are... lose weight, obviously, which is again linked to exercise.
Which also goes back to the vitamin D, because people will tend to gorge carbohydrates if they lack vitamin D, because the vitamin D is stopping the brain secreting serotonin, which is the well-being hormone in your brain.
Yep.
So people eat the carbohydrates to get the serotonin working. So then they put the weight on.
Yeah. I've just said lose weight. Like, it's dead easy. I know it's tricky. And I guess we're going in, us guys, like further north of the equator, when this is kind of our time of year when we're supposed to be kind of storing up fat, isn't it? We overdo it on food and all that, which is kind of goes back to kind of preparing for the winter and all that stuff. But we don't need to anymore, really, do we? But we do anyway.
But we live in false environments. I mean, you're saying it's too hot in here, which I think it's starting to get too hot in here. This environment that we're in this house, it doesn't matter what the weather's doing out there. We're now living in this in this kind of false environment here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have to do the things that we would have done years ago.
Exactly. So, that kind of thing. It also suggests changing your diet a little bit in terms of rather than having big, massive meals 3 times a day, just to have small, small meals more often, just to kind of regulate your blood sugar a bit.
And there are ways of easily doing that. It's like if you use smaller plates at the dinner table,
yeah,
then you have less food on them to make them look like they're full.
Sure.
You know, it's all that kind of stuff. And you've also written down blood sugar here.
Yep.
We know that when you get sugar spikes, you bang a load of sugar maybe in a drink or some of that, so you get this spike of energy, but then you crash afterwards and you lack the energy.
Yeah.
So then you crave another drink. And people like Jamie Oliver are on the wagon now, aren't they, about you've got to change sugar, get rid of sugar. Sugar's the devil of the moment, you know. Whether it's
not the only one, but yeah.
Yeah. But sugar's in the most ridiculous things. And maybe it is time to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, I've been experimenting recently, as I've mentioned a couple of times, with my caffeine intake, which caffeine is obviously a natural or a stimulant, perfectly legal, thankfully. One of the last few legal highs.
You'd be snorting your instant coffee, then.
But I was concerned, but I thought I'd experiment, because I drink a couple of 2-3 coffees a day, and have done probably for 6, 7, 8 years. So I thought, what would happen if I stopped drinking coffee? And looked it up online, and there's pros and cons, and there's blog posts for either side. But I mean, I wasn't drinking enough so that I got kind of headaches straight away the day after. But cut it out completely after about a week. I was hoping this would be one of the side effects or reactions, was that I now wake up feeling way more alert than I had before, because I was so sick of like waking up and really struggling to get up and about and do things, and then I'd need the coffee to kind of there spike. Now caffeine's all out of my system, I've noticeably felt much more alert in the mornings, like straight away, pow, I'm up and about.
Interesting.
Not on more sleep, I haven't been getting any extra sleep.
Right.
So I have a little play
with that. Maybe the lack of caffeine actually improves the quality of your sleep too.
I think it has, you know. Yeah. I think it has.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had coffee after like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon as well, because I was always conscious that it would keep me up late. But yeah, that's what I found. Next thing I'd like to try was kind of some other kind of form of diet in terms of gluten-free, that kind of thing, just to see how that might work.
Yeah, that is true too. Dietary, that people that have a celiac type gut that aren't good with either the glutens or with the yeasts that are in some breads. Some people don't like yeast. Like some people can't drink beer because of the yeast in the beer.
Right.
And it can, you know, put your energy out. Well, one of the things, I don't know the veracity of this statement, but I read it, one thing I was reading about detoxing, and it reckoned that if you drink a strong double espresso, it takes 25 glasses of water to effectively wash that out of your system. And I don't know how real that is. There's a lot of peeing, if you know.
Yeah.
But
I would give it a whirl.
There's
other links I'll put in the show notes, NHS tiredness and fatigue and stuff, that would really good advice.
Yeah.
And there's another blog post, 8 Reasons You're Tired All the Time and How to Beat Fatigue, which is a bit more in depth in terms of diet, actually, from the quick look I gave it.
Yeah.
Which is some good stuff there.
I think food and mood is a huge area of science that we don't fully understand.
Yeah.
We can look at the physiological benefits of certain foods, but looking at the psychological and emotional benefits of foods is important as well.
Yeah. All right, cool. Did you have a resource of the week, Sean?
I put 2 down here. Both of them are about pranayama.
Okay.
Which again, prana is energy, yama is control. So it's controlling body energy, which means either bringing it down and calming it, or lifting it up if you need more energy. So it's both ways. So one's a yoga journal, and the other one is the link to Light on Yoga by Iyengar, which is a good book.
Pranayama.
When it's the A on the end is silent.
If pranayama. Pranayama.
If you go into classical Sanskrit, the A's on the end are silent.
Or at pranayama, as they say in Liverpool.
Yeah, or people, if they're doing yoga, they say, well, I'm going to do an asana. Because that's an arsene. It's a silent name.
Cool, all right, we'll stick those in the chat. Mine is, it was a little podcast by Tim Ferriss, which he put online a couple of weeks ago about sleep. Just a quick 15-minute show for some of his, because he's experimented with it big time. And in fact, he's got a book called The 4-Hour Body, which has got a chapter about sleep, in which he recommends things like almond butter before you go to bed,
right?
Because it's a really slow release energy, and it will basically, by the time you hit morning again, it will kind of be kicking in. You'll wake up feeling great, which
that's
I play with. So yeah, both.
Where do you get almond butter from?
We can
either like a nut butter. You mean yeah. Like peanut butter?
Yeah.
You can
make
it
yourself, or you can get it on Amazon and that kind of thing as well. So some cool stuff there, and yeah, his podcast episode that he put online recently had some interesting things too in terms of like sleeping upside down, that kind of thing. He's the kind of chap that will just do anything, experiment
with.
But yeah, some good stuff. Next week we're talking about overprotective parents. We've had an email from a listener out there who had overprotective parents and has left her with a certain state of anxiousness through a grown up life, which I think will be an interesting one to tackle.
Yeah.
If that's alright with you, Sean.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And in the meantime, get to the website livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links we've mentioned. Follow us online, all the usual places: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Ree's putting a lot of cool inspirational stuff on
there. Really good. She does some good stuff on there.
Don't be afraid to email us with your ideas for future shows, because we're always keen to get ideas and see what's affecting our audience and see how we can help.
Yep.
Right, good. Sean, you have a good week.
And you, keep smiling.
Toodaloo, see you, everyone.
Yeah, put your clothes on.
Okay, if you insist. Bye. Yeah.